are starting our brand new Christmas series, which is always exciting for me and hard at the same time. Because here's the thing about a Christmas series, it's usually about Christmas every year. So sometimes it can be a challenge to come up with what the Lord kind of places on my heart. And I understand and I realize, look, like some of you, like I've been doing this for quite a while now. I've been in ministry for just about 25 years. Please don't do the math on that. As far as my age, but it's been a while. And whether I was a youth pastor or now as a lead pastor, I always had a Christmas-themed series. So I've done a lot of these over the years, and I'm trying to tell you, it sometimes gets a little bit harder. But here's what I know about the Lord. Here's what I know about His Word. There's always something new. It's like the diamond that can just simply be turned by God and His Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, a new facet comes out. And so I invite you this morning as we dive into our Christmas series to allow the Holy Spirit to turn that diamond in your heart. I understand that the verse that we're going to be looking at throughout this series, throughout Christmas Eve as well, is one many of us have heard countless times. But I also know that God's Word is alive. It is active in our hearts and in our lives. And I know that God can to take these things and continue to form and change us to be more like His Son. So this morning as we jump in, I ask you to do that with me as we jump into our brand new Christmas series simply called Hark. When I was a kid, loved Christmas music, love it now. And I remember hearing that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and I wanted to know who Hark was as the kid. I was like, what in the world does that even mean? How can we even look at this and understand it? Well, just so you know, to help us understand the series and kind of what we're going to be looking at, I wanted to define the word hark. Now, some of you are very, you know, Webster-ish, so you know this already. But at least if you were like me, I didn't really understand the exact definition of it. So here's the definition of hark. It means to listen attentively or to pay close attention, often used to urge someone to listen. And of course, if you think about Hark the Herald Angels Sing, that's kind of the whole point of the song. It's basically hark, the angel comes and he begins to proclaim to the shepherds that are watching their flocks in the field that basically, listen, I have something very important to say. You need to stop, you need to listen, you need to take a moment to hear this. And this morning, as we jump kind of into the Christmas season, and I know this is kind of a weird year. Usually we've had a Christmas service to an extent by the 7th of the month because, you know, this is about the last time you can have it. So I know that Christmas has already been going on for a lot of us. A lot of you have already decorated your homes. I'm sure some of you have already bought some gifts and made cookies and done all some of the Christmassy things that we do every year. But the whole point of this series in a lot of ways is to get you to stop for a second. Because it can be so busy, it can be so hectic, it can be so crazy. Because I really truly believe that the Holy Spirit has something for us to hear and understand. Even in a story that many of us have heard many, many times before. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at a scripture that, again, many of you know. In fact, it's the scripture that I believe in a lot of ways, the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. This is what the angels were harking and wanting the shepherds to listen to. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke 2. We're going to be in this scripture pretty much the entire month. We're going to be in it throughout the month of December and also on Christmas Eve. And we're going to break down Luke 10 and 11 together because I believe each section of this scripture has something important for us to hark to during this Christmas season. So if you have your Bibles, obviously, you can use your phones or it'll be up on the screen. Luke 2, we're going to look at verses 10 and 11 together this morning. And here's what it says. It says that the angel comes to the shepherds and says, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we do thank you for this day and this time. We thank you for this season and all that it is. And God, I pray that in this moment, God, that we would take just each of us individually would just kind of maybe press the pause button. I know there's a lot going on. I know there's a lot in our minds. I mean, we got three or four things that are happening even after this service. But God, all those things can wait because I truly believe in this moment there are things that you want us to hark to listen to hear, because I truly believe that, God, if we will allow you, you can change us to be more like your Son. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, as you noticed, and if you haven't, please notice them with me. The notes are kind of a little bit on the Charlie Brown theme, which of course I love, you know? And here's the thing, like I grew up watching a Charlie Brown Christmas and all those things. Obviously, if you've ever been to my office, you can tell that I have a little bit of an enjoyment of that. But I've told you about my office before, and some of you actually come in and looked at all the stuff, which is kind of weird. I feel like I have a Charles Schulz museum to an extent in there. But I actually brought something for you out of my office. And so this is literally was in my office, and I brought this to show you. I brought show and tell today. So obviously this is Linus and obviously hold on.
For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Let's pray and end. No, he's in. Okay. And here's Linus, and obviously he's pretty fun, and obviously I like Charlie Brown and Linus and all the characters and things like that. But here's the thing: there's something that Linus is always known for. And here's the thing, it's definitely the that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. But if you ask probably 100 people and said, what is Linus known for? Most people would say Linus is known for his blanket. His blanket. He carries it around. It's part of the comics that Charles Schulz wrote, and we see it, you know, in some of the shows that he wrote as far as the movie, or not the movies, the television specials and all this stuff. It's his blanket. In fact, there's one scene in Charlie Brown Christmas where he has to be a shepherd, and basically Lucy, his sister, gets mad at him because he has his blanket. And she goes, what would a Christmas shepherd need a blanket before? And basically, you know, he says, this is one Christmas shepherd who's going to hold on to his trusty blanket. And basically he turns it into kind of this kind of headdress kind of a thing to make it look like he's a shepherd. And here's the thing about Linus's blanket. It's a security blanket. There's many times in the comics and in the television shows where he loses this, and boy, I tell you what, he really loses it. It's something that's very special to him. It's something that he finds safety, security, and comfort in. What's interesting about this story and what's interesting about the shepherds is when these angels appear to them, they respond like most of us would have responded. In fact, like most people do in Scripture, when the angels show up, usually the first thing the angel tells people is, don't be afraid. Why? Because angels are petrifying. They're nervous. They're scared. They don't know what to do. And so the angels come and they say, don't be afraid. In fact, for a lot of us, in fact, I actually looked this up this week. For most people, in fact, it's been found that about one-third of American adults still have some sort of security blanket in their lives. We have found that we need security. It's more than just sometimes where God comes to us and says, listen, I don't want you to be afraid. You see, we understand that. We know that. We don't always do well with that, but we know that. But God is so good. God is so great. God loves us so much that he just doesn't say, hey, listen, I don't want you to be afraid. He instead brings comfort in its place. You see, that's the difference between a lot of times God and people. You see, God can say, don't be afraid, and then God can fill that fear in its place with something so much greater. For Linus, it was this security blanket that just wasn't really truly enough. And I don't know what security blankets you're holding on to in your life today, but I do know this, it's not going to satisfy the way Jesus can. And so when the angels come and they say, don't be afraid, it was more than just a command to these shepherds. It's a command for us today, but it's more than just a command to not do something. It's an invitation by the Lord to accept something in its place. It's comfort. It's joy. It's more than just a feeling. It's something that only God can bring that is greater than circumstances and situations that we find. Later on in our series, we'll get into some of the deeper things also that the angels come to share. But this morning, as we look at that phrase, don't be afraid, we're going to look at the fact that God comes to not just say, don't be afraid to us, but to actually bring comfort and joy deep into our lives. But here's the question that I have for me, and that most of us have maybe for ourselves, is what does it mean for us to authentically understand the comfort that Jesus brings to us? Like, again, we've heard this before. We've sung the songs. We know that, hark the herald angels sing, comfort and joy, glad tidings, and all these types of things. But here's the deal. For some of us, we understand the concepts in our minds, but we haven't really allowed the Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts. Well, this morning, I want to answer that question, and not in necessarily three answers, but in three parts, that I truly believe that if we can allow the Holy Spirit to help us to apply these to our hearts and our lives, we won't have a problem anymore with not just being afraid, but allowing the comfort that Jesus brings to transform our hearts and our lives. You see, what I truly believe is this: God is able to comfort you in your loneliness, your loss, and your lack. When I say, how do we understand this? That's the three parts that we're going to look at this morning. We'll break down each one to look at it a little bit closer. But I believe God is able to comfort us in our loneliness, our loss, and our lack. Number one, let's start with the first one. Obviously, God brings comfort in your loneliness. A couple of months ago, we did a series entitled Monsters in the Closet. And one of the monsters that we talked about that I really kind of thought was kind of a minor monster a little bit, for me at least, but I was shocked how many people came up when we talked about the monster of loneliness and found me out and grabbed me and said, you know what, I struggle with this. I was a little surprised by that. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but I was. And there are so many of us that in this season especially, we are so lonely. Maybe we've experienced the loneliness that comes from the loss of a loved one. Maybe you have a situation in your life where maybe you lost someone very close to you, maybe even around this time. And during this season, boy, you just deal with that loneliness in your heart. And it's hard and it's difficult. I'm here to tell you that God doesn't just come to you and say, listen, I'm sorry this happened. He wants to comfort you in that. He wants to hold you close in that. He wants to be something that can bring you comfort and joy even in those moments that are difficult. Look at me with me at Isaiah 63, 13. It says this: as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And I love that picture that God gives us because for me, I remember being comforted by my mom. I remember seeing Emily comfort Easton. And I don't know, maybe it's just something about a son and a mom or something like that. I know that in some ways, well, we'll get to dad in just a minute. But in some ways, I can just see that in my own mind. And it's amazing that our God, the God of heaven, the God who spoke the very worlds into existence, says to you and me as individuals, not just as a group, but as individuals, and he says, listen, I will comfort you like a mother comforts its child. Amen. I will hold you close. When you are experiencing those things, when you're experiencing that loneliness, I will come to you and I will hold you and comfort you. So many times in my life, I remember being comforted by my mother. I remember seeing Easton being comforted by Emily. And it's such a beautiful picture of what God desires to do in our hearts and in our lives if we'll let him. He'll come and he'll do that. But he doesn't just stop there. Look at Psalm 68. In Psalm 68, looking at verse number 5 in this first part of 6, it says this: Father to the fatherless, speaking of God here, Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. Look at verse 6. God places the lonely in families, and he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. Father to the fatherless. He places the lonely in families. Listen, if you are lonely this morning, you don't have to be. Do you understand that? You don't have to be. Because God is here. He can be a mother and a father to you. And I know, listen, when I talk about stuff like this, I know it's so easy for some of you to immediately go to this place and you go, but Aaron, you don't understand. When you talk about mothers and fathers, I don't have good experiences. You may sit there and say, oh, I remember when your mother comforted you. My mother wasn't there. My father wasn't there. In fact, they didn't comfort me. They discouraged me. They made my life miserable and hard. And for you, I am sorry. But you need to understand something. Even though it may be a little bit more difficult for you, even though you may look at those moments and not have moments of comfort and joy, but in fact, moments that are very difficult for you to remember, We have to remember this. Don't let your experience, however it played out with your biological parents, to dictate the relationship with your Heavenly Father. You can't do this. Why? Because your parents are broken and flawed human beings just like mine and just like Easton's. And when we compare perfection and imperfection, imperfection will always be clear. But you need to understand something. No matter how you grew up, no matter how present or not present your family was, you have a God in heaven who can be a father to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Who can take your loneliness and change it all.
Amen.
He will put you in a family. Listen, I don't call this place a family on accident. You see, I grew up in a church where it was very, very normal to call people sister and brother. I've talked about this before. And I remember as a kid, like, not understanding that concept. It was just, well, that's Brother Johnson, that's Sister Johnson, that's Sister Smith. That's so. That's just how I remember saying all those things. And I just thought that was kind of their name. I remember being shocked when I found out my you know, our lead pastor's wife's name was Sonia. I remember that. I'm like, wait a minute, her name isn't Sister? No, her name's Sonia Johnson. I was like, I didn't like that. Even now, listen, I say that and I go, oh, and she's in heaven. I say her name and I go, oh, no, that's Sister Johnson. When I see her in eternity, I'm not going to say Sonia. I'm telling you right now because it just doesn't sound right. Sister Johnson's the name. And here's the deal. Like, I just thought that's kind of what you did. And I just thought that's what you called people. I didn't understand the concept that, listen, that is literally, in God's eyes, my sister, my brother. But why? Because we're family. That's the way God intended for this place to be. And so you don't have to be lonely. You don't have to allow that to come and dictate your life. God is here, and he loves you, and he has a place for you in his family, and he can be that father, that mother that you needed, and no matter what you have experienced, he can be there. He can be there for you. Number two, God brings comfort in your loss, in your loss. I don't know about you, but this is a time of year where a lot of us begin to kind of take some inventory of our lives. You know, it's kind of getting close to the end of the year, so we kind of look back, and which is crazy to me, by the way. I can't believe I wrote a check. I know that ages me. I wrote a check a couple days ago, and I was like putting 2025, and it has literally taken me about this amount of time to remember to do 2025 and not 2024, and it scares me because here in about a month, I'm going to be writing 2026, and that's crazy. I mean, but a lot of us, as we get close to the year, we kind of begin to take an inventory of our lives. We kind of begin to think about what has happened. And for some of us, it's what we've gained. And for some of us, it is also, of course, what we have lost. And some of us maybe have lost relationships. Maybe we have lost a loved one. Maybe we've lost job security. Maybe some of us have lost those types of things. And listen, God can comfort you even in your loss. Even in your loss. Look here, and I know this is a verse that many of us have memorized. In fact, we usually quote it at funerals and things like that. But in Psalms 23, look at this with me. The first couple of verses, it says this. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And verse number 3, the first part, "He refreshes," or restores, depending on your translation, "my soul." It's a beautiful concept. It's a beautiful way that David brings all this together. And he basically says, listen, and here's the thing about David's life. You need to understand something about it. David lost stuff. When you really begin to study his life and you begin to see the things, David lost, and he lost a lot. He lost basically a mentor and a leader in Saul. He lost a very dear friend in Jonathan. He lost a son because of his sin with Bathsheba. He lost years of his life because of how he handled his son, Absalom. He lost a lot. But yet here is this man writing one of the most famous psalms that has ever been written. And he says, "I lack nothing." How can he write that? How could he communicate that? How could he help us to see that? Simple. He shows us in the first part of verse number 3. And so many of us miss it because we don't really understand what David's trying to communicate. He says in verse 3, he refreshes my soul or restores my soul. Listen, the Hebrew word for refresh literally means to bring it back to its original state. Did you know that? So when David's saying, listen, he refreshes, he restores, he's basically like saying, everything that has been lost, God will bring back to me in one way or another. He will restore it back to the original state. And so the question is simple. Okay, well then what's the original state? Well, you see the original state all the way back in Genesis 1. You see this state where God is creating, and he creates you and me in the form of Adam and Eve, and basically he puts us all in this garden that's this beautiful, perfect paradise with communion with him. No sin, no death, no dying, no problems. And he says, oh, it's very good. The original state that David is thinking about in this verse, when he can say, I lack nothing, is the perfection of God's plan for you and for me. And here's the deal. Here's the thing you need to understand. Although we don't live in a state like that, we will one day if we're followers of Jesus. He's going to make it all new. He's going to refresh it all. He's going to restore it all. And we're going to enjoy the closeness of our Heavenly Father in ways that we've never even dreamed possible. And he says, that refreshes me. That restores me. And that's the thing some of us need to understand. Even though there may be things in your life throughout this year that you are mourning the loss of, God can make all things new. He can bring it all back. And he will bring it all back. And you say, Aaron, that's great. That's awesome. I appreciate the thought. But you know what? I'm 14 years old. I'm 28 years old. I don't know. I'm 58 years old. That seems to be a long way off for me. Well, God in his ultimate goodness understood that. And even though life is like a vapor, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow, Jesus hasn't forgotten you in this place and in this moment. You see, here's the thing. Even though our hearts and our focus need to be eternally things, God understands that we still need him in the temporal. And I'm so, so happy about that. And so Jesus says, listen, even though you, as the disciples, are going to experience some loss, I'm going to make a way to have some restoration, even in this life. You see, in our verse that we're going to look at in just a second, Jesus is communicating with his disciples in John 14. And he's basically saying, listen, I am going to be leaving you soon. Now, can you imagine that for a second? You've been following this guy for about 3 years or so. You have seen him do miracles. You've seen him open eyes of blind people. You have seen him bring dead things back to life. You've seen him deal with the religious leaders. I mean, this is pretty amazing. And all of a sudden, he comes to you and says, hey, listen, just so you know, I'm out. You want to talk about a feeling maybe of loneliness in that moment, a feeling of loss in that moment? And look how Jesus handles it in John 14, 16. He says this, he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter. This is in the Amplified Version. The idea of comforter is, we really look at it, is the idea of a counselor, a helper, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby, that he may remain with you. How long? Forever. Jesus, hear me. Jesus knows how to handle loss. You know, some of us aren't good with loss. I don't think anybody really is great with loss. And Jesus understands that, you know what, even though there may be loss, the Holy Spirit will come. And he is here. And he is able to comfort you. You know, listen, I know in many different Bibles, there's many different translations. The reason I use the Amplified Version is because, listen, I wanted you to see all the idea and the concept of the word comforter in the Greek. So here's the deal, because some of you, you know, well, I don't necessarily need a comforter right now, but man, I really need a helper. Well, he's there for you. I don't need a helper right now, but man, I need an intercessor. He's there for you. The Holy Spirit can do all of those things. And here's the deal. This is a very small list of what he can do in your heart for you. and he's there, and you can experience that even though that you may have felt loss in your life, that through the Holy Spirit you can actually have gain. It's not easy, and we sometimes forget that. And we make the mistake of thinking just because the Comforter is here that that means that we're not going to experience any pain or loss in our lives. We are. Jesus said, you're going to have trouble. But he brings the Holy Spirit to help us in that. Listen, this is important that you get this, because sometimes we can miss this, especially we're in the midst and the season of lost. Just because with the Holy Spirit, this doesn't mean that we'll always be comfortable. It means that we will always have access to the life-changing comfort that only God can provide. Okay? See, a lot of us make that mistake, and boy, we get upset with God. We get upset with Jesus. We get upset with the Holy Spirit because it's like, hey, we're not comfortable. Listen, Jesus never promised you comfortable life. In fact, he promised us the opposite. And we need to get on board with that, folks. I'm sorry. Merry Christmas. But that's just the honest truth of what God's word says. We are not supposed to have a comfortable life. We're not going to have a comfortable life. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You know what that means? It means in this world, you're going to have loss, you're going to have loneliness, and you're going to have lack. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. What's he saying in that? He's saying, listen, even though you will experience loneliness, loss, and lack, I will be there to comfort you, and you will ultimately overcome. He didn't promise us to be comfortable. He promised us comfort that is only found in him. Listen to Isaiah 49, great verse. Isaiah 49, 13. It says, sing for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. Why? Why are all these things happening? For the Lord has comforted his people, and he will have compassion on them. Where? In their suffering. You know what that verse kind of almost communicates to you and to me? Suffering is going to happen. It doesn't say if they have some suffering. It says in their suffering. But just as much as the promise is there that there will be suffering, there's the promise that's there that he will comfort his people as well. He'll comfort us. He'll comfort us even in our loss. So we've seen how God can comfort us in our loneliness and in our loss. And the final thing, God can bring us comfort in our lack. In our lack. Look at Philippians 4, 19, verse that many of us have heard before, but really important to see this morning. It says, and God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the thing about this verse that sometimes we have made a mistake on as pastors and as people. When we've read this verse, we have found that it makes it better for us to stop the verse before the verse is done. Okay? Okay? So here's what we do, okay? We go to Hobby Lobby, okay? And we see our signs that are, you know, that are a little less plentiful now because most of them are all Christmas signs now, which is not a problem at all in my world. But you get what I'm saying here. Or we'll say something like this. We'll say, you know, I just love Philippians 4:19. It says, and God will meet my needs. You know, that's not what Paul writes here. I know that for some of you, you're going, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Does that mean God's not going to meet my needs? No. That's not what I'm saying. Just hold on. We have to look at the entirety of the verse. He says, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Okay? So how are our needs met? Is the question that basically we need to ask. Because it sounds good, you know, okay, meet all my needs, but Paul doesn't stop there. He says, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you still do this, I know for some of you it's like, you know, mark up my Bible, oh my goodness. But if you still do this or you do it on your phone, do me a favor, underline the word in. That matters in this verse. Because in some ways, what we tend to do is we want God to meet all our needs, but we want God to do it in our way and in our time and with even our abilities and intelligence. Let me give you an example of how this works. We say, God, I want you to meet all my needs, and so I'm going to work harder and strive more and work more overtime so that therefore you can meet my needs. That's not what the scripture is communicating to us. And actually, what the scripture is communicating is something so much greater than that. You see, what we tend to do is we tend to want to partner with God to strive to allow God to meet our needs. And although it is good to work hard and to do the very best we can in whatever God places before us, we need to understand that our needs are met not by the work of our hands or the sweat of our brow, but because of what Jesus has already done for us. Okay, what does that mean to you? It means this, simply that because of what Jesus has already done, the provision has already been made. Okay, you go, why should I trust this verse? Why should I live my life where I say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust that you're going to meet my needs. I'm not going to do the things that show untrust, but I'm going to live my life with trust, and I'm going to allow the riches of the glory of Christ Jesus to be manifested in my life. Why should I believe that? Simple, it's already done. It's already there. Listen, everything you need, you ever needed or will ever need in the future, God has already made provision for. Okay? Why do we allow the in Christ Jesus and the riches of his glory to meet our needs? Because that price has already been paid, folks. You see, some of us, you know, I don't know if a lot of people do this anymore. I know there's a new way to do it online. At least I see when I go to buy something and it says basically, you want to pay for it all now or you want to break it up into payments. But when I was a kid, you know, a lot of things, people would put things on layaway. You know what I learned about layaway as a kid? It's not yours yet. Oh, you can put this on layaway. Okay, this is aging me, I know. We'd go to Kmart and they'd have a blue light special. Remember those? Some of you are like, what in the world's Kmart? Think of Walmart that wasn't nearly as cool, I guess. I don't know. And they would have layaway, and they would say, there would be commercials when I was a kid. When I was trying to watch Charlie Brown and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, there'd be horrible commercials saying, you can put this on layaway. Like, what is layaway? Simple. You say, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to pay for it in installments, basically. And then at some point when you paid it off, you can get it. Here's the thing about layaway. It wasn't yours. You say, well, I paid for half of it. Doesn't matter. Not yours. You had to pay for it in full before Kmart would let you take it home with you. The thing about the needs that are going to be met in Christ Jesus and in understanding the glory of the riches of that in him is simply this. It's already been paid. It's already yours. The question is, will you take it home with you? You see, some of us live our lives with the understanding of God's need, going, God, when I need something, I will come to you. And then somehow you will take all these things and make it all happen, and then poof. When we understand that our needs are met by the riches that are in Christ Jesus, we can come to God knowing that everything we need, everything we'll need today, tomorrow, and for the next 20 years, as long as we're on this earth, God has already made provision for. Why? Because if he would give his son for you and for me, he'll give us everything else that we need under that. So no matter what your lack, God's made provision for. You say, well, you know, we're going through a financial struggle right now. You know what? God's made provision for that already. You say, well, you know what? I'm lacking relationship. I'm lacking a closeness. I'm lacking maybe a relationship with my spouse that I want to have, a relationship with my kids that I want to have. You know, God has already made provision for that. Here's the thing that you need to understand about the provision. Sometimes it will come, but it will only come when God says it's time, which sometimes can seem hard. I get that. But at the same time, it's so important to understand. Look at me. Look at Isaiah 61:1. This is a great verse. Jesus here is he actually quotes this verse back in Luke as he begins his ministry. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Look what he says. "He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." Such a beautiful verse. Jesus uses it to begin his ministry, to proclaim who he is and what he is going to come and bring. He has that for you and for me. He's already made a provision for. But here's the thing. I know at this time of year and sometimes in our lives, we begin to kind of look and go, you know, I understand that God wants to bring me comfort. I understand that God wants to help me in these areas. But we begin to sometimes look to find that comfort in something else or someone else. And here's the deal. That can last for a season. But it truly won't truly make an impact long term in our lives. We can even put our hope or our focus or our comfort in good things. But at the same time, we need to understand something that Paul communicates to us in 2 Corinthians 1. Listen to what he says here. This is a great verse. He says, as he's beginning this second letter to the church in Corinth, he says this. He says, all praise to God. Now listen, this is important. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. The source of all comfort. He says he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Listen, I love that phrase in there. God is the source of all comfort. He's the source of it. So listen, here's what's great about that. When your spouse and you comfort each other, that's awesome, but the source is God, okay? When God blesses you and we enjoy those blessings and what, that's great, but the source is God, okay? When you enjoy this season and the songs and the source is God. And we need to remember that and allow that to be the situation that is permeating our hearts and forming us and changing us, especially during this season. Because listen, it is so easy this time of year to forget where the source is and who the source truly is. And so listen, if you're dealing with lack, if you're dealing with loneliness or loss, the source of comfort is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Period. End of statement. End of story. Yes, I know that God can use other people, and he does, and I pray and hope that he does. We see that in that verse, that as God comforts us, we then can take that comfort that God has shared with us, and we can comfort others, and that's awesome when God uses us to do that, and we should be about that and be doing those things, but at the same time, the source is always Jesus. You see, what's interesting is we go all the way back to Luke 2. And listen, I don't want to jump ahead in our series, but here's the thing. The angels look at these shepherds and they say, don't be afraid. And they begin to share some comfort and some joy with these people. And you know what it's based upon? It's based upon Luke 2:11. It's based on the fact that to you, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem. What does that mean? It's all about Jesus. The reason that we can have comfort, the reason we don't have to fear anymore, and that we don't need to be like Linus and carry around a safety security blanket is because of what Jesus has already done for you and for me. So that brings us to the question that we need to ask ourselves. As you would, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I know you have a few more blanks to fill out, but you know what? I think you can remember this one. But the question I want to ask all of us, the question that I believe the Holy Spirit would ask us this morning is simply this. Will you invite Jesus into the place of your loneliness, your loss, and your lack? Will you invite Jesus to come into those places in your life that you're experiencing today? Because here's the deal. I've experienced in my life invitations that I've given to people and I've been rejected from that invitation. Now, not necessarily rejected as people didn't like me or whatever, but they weren't able to come. Maybe they had other plans or they were out of town or maybe they just said, you know, I don't think I would really like to spend more time with you, Aaron. That's fine too. The thing about Jesus that we always need to remember is when we invite him, he always comes. Scripture tells us, it's this wonderful verse in James, that as we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. What does that mean? Simple. When you invite Jesus, Jesus comes. And for some of you this morning, you are dealing with loneliness, loss, and lack. And maybe you've been aware of that and you've done different types of things to maybe allow those things to be filled. And maybe for a time and a season, that has kind of helped. But here's what I've learned in my own life. I'm only going to speak for me because I'm the only one I can speak for. I know that in my life, I've had seasons of loneliness, lack, and loss. And I've tried to fill it with other things besides Jesus. Some maybe really good things, and maybe some not so good things. And here's what I've learned. No matter how good the thing is, it has never been the source of all comfort like Jesus can be. And this morning, no matter what you're dealing with, if you invite Jesus into that place, he can be the source of all comfort for you. You see, those shepherds were scared because they didn't know what to do. And here's the deal. If the angels showed up and freaked them out and basically just said, "Don't be afraid," and left, nothing would have changed. You see, the shepherds had to hear who the source of all comfort was. And if you know the story at all, when they find out, it changes everything. They go and they find this source. And it changes their lives. And so this morning, man, you don't have to walk out of here with your loneliness, lack, and loss. You can allow the God of all comfort to change you from the inside out. And invite him into that place. And let him do what only he can do. Because he loves you so much. You know, one thing I've learned about Jesus, he's dying for an invitation. Will you invite him this morning? I know some of you have just, you're going through a season where you're just really lonely. You know, for Christmas, you just want it over. Because it sometimes it just feels like it turns up your loneliness to 11. And I'm here to tell you, when you invite Jesus into that loneliness, and you understand that he is a father to you and a mother to you and a family to you, no matter what kind of situation you may find yourself in, you are never, ever alone. It can change it all. For some of you, you're just in a season right now of loss. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you lost a relationship. Maybe you lost something very special to you. If you will invite Jesus into that loss, he will begin the process of restoration in you. He wants to restore and refresh your soul. And here's the deal you need to understand about that. That doesn't always take place in a finger snap. Sometimes God does it slowly. But he will restore what has been lost. Scripture says he will restore what the locust has eaten. Invite him into that place. For others of you, it's in your lack. Maybe you feel a lack of love this season, a lack of comfort this season. Maybe because of financial restraints, a lack of financial security. Whatever your lack is, you need to understand provision has already been made for it. It's already done. You don't have to put it on layaway. Listen, you just need to go with Jesus and pick it up. It's yours. It's already been paid for. And you can allow Jesus to fill that lack in your heart. But I'm telling you again, if you truly want the comfort that God brings, you have to go to the source of all comfort and allow him to do what only he can do. So if those are you, and I know there's many, many types of others, I'm going to ask as I pray with you and over you that you would just pray. You would just ask the Father. You would ask Jesus, and you would invite him into that place. And that you would let him do what he desires to do in you and through you this morning. We love you, Father. We come to you right now. And Father, we thank you that, God, you are the source of all comfort. You are the God of all comfort. And Father, for some of us right now, man, we're afraid, and we're afraid because we have experienced loss, lack, and loneliness in our hearts and in our lives. And just like those angels hark to those shepherds, Father, I feel that your Holy Spirit is harking to us right now, and he's saying, listen, pay attention to this. Know that I am the God of all comfort, and I will come and I will comfort you. I am a father to the fatherless. I will hold you like a mother comforts his child if you will invite me to do so. So no matter what those areas are, God, you have the power and the authority to change it all for us. And so, God, we look to you for that. We ask and we invite you in to those specific areas of our heart and our lives where we need the comfort of God. Because God, you are so good. You don't just tell us, don't be afraid. You want to remove our fear and put comfort in its place. And so, Father, I pray that even in this moment, God, there are individuals here and online that are calling out to you and allowing you to remove the fear and place in the comfort that is only found from you. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you sent your Son, that you gave him for us, and you didn't stop there. As Scripture says, you have given us blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And one of the ways that we experience that is how you come and continue to transform our hearts to become more like yours. So we thank you for that. We love you and we thank you. You're so good and we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So listen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. For those that are online, we love you. We hope that you're doing well. Hope to see you soon. For the ones that are here, just I know there's a lot going on, okay? But just real quick, remember Jason's Deli after service, and then we got the women's Christmas party after that, and then youth after that. Whew, I know there's a lot, but we're really excited to share this season with you and this Christmas time with you. So love you. Have a great week. I hope to see you all at Jason's Deli. I know all the ladies are really excited about their Christmas party. Hope they have a great time as well, and we'll see you soon.